Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to provide you with an update on First Republic Bank. On Monday, the 1st of May, First Republic Bank has gone into receivership. It has gone bust. It's been taken over by the FDIC and the assets have been sold to JP Morgan. And this is the fourth US bank over the course of the last 8 weeks that has now failed. The first of those failures happened on the 8th of March when we saw Silvergate Bank announcing that it was going into an enforced liquidation process. Then on the 10th of March, we had the monumental news that Silicon Valley Bank had been taken over by the FDIC and had gone bust. That was followed by Signature Bank and the US authorities announcing that they'd decided to protect all customer deposits. So this was a way of the US trying to allay everybody's fears that there was a banking crisis coming. They wanted to let everybody know that their deposits were safe and that they weren't going to lose all of their money. And the immediate response to that action was positive. Everybody started to relax a little. We then saw the Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse getting itself into a major financial mess. It was on the verge of bankruptcy. And the way that disaster was averted in Europe was that the Swiss authorities forced the other major banking giant in Switzerland, UBS, to take over Credit Suisse at a major loss. Now, over the course of the last month or so, everybody has returned to life as normal. We've forgotten about the banking crisis. We've all moved on. However, there are a number of banks that are still teetering on the brink of disaster. And First Republic Bank was right at the top of this list, predominantly because its risk profile looked very similar to Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of the deposits that First Republic had taken on were from corporates. And that represents a major risk these days because unlike the old days when bank runs used to involve people queuing around the block trying to remove their deposits in cash dollars, today the biggest risk is that you've got corporate customers who have hundreds of millions of dollars on deposit with you and they suddenly become concerned and decide to move all of that money electronically in the blink of an eye, in the tap of a couple of keys on the keyboard. And alongside that large percentage of corporate customers, the other major concern with First Republic is that it had provided a lot of mortgage lending to high net worth individuals at very attractive rates, very low rates of interest. And of course, over the course of the last 12 months, we've seen interest rates increase dramatically. And that means that that loan book is now out of the money. It's worth less in the markets than it was this time last year. Because if you're making a mortgage loan today, it will be at a considerably higher rate. And so those old mortgages are less attractive. So what we had with First Republic is very similar to what was going on at Silicon Valley in terms of all of its liabilities had fallen in value and all of its assets were moving out of the door because corporates wanted to go to another bank that they believed was more financially stable. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at the announcement from the FDIC with regards to the failure of First Republic Bank and what's happening to its assets. We'll then have a look at some statistics about how many banks have actually failed and how big these banks are, because I've been getting a lot of comments over the course of the last couple of months telling me that it doesn't really matter that these banks are failing, that this happens every single year, it's the normal course of business. Don't get too concerned about two or three or four banks going bust because it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't mean we're going into a new global financial crisis. Now, is that true? Is what we are seeing right now the normal course of events in any single year, or is this a trend that we should be concerned about? So I'll share with you some statistics from the FDIC that I think are very concerning and tell us that we could potentially be on the verge of another major global crisis. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and whether or not there is a risk of another major global financial meltdown. The FDIC press release on Monday, the 1st of May, states that First Republic Bank, San Francisco, California, was closed today by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, which appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, as receiver. To protect depositors, the FDIC is entering into a purchase and assumption agreement with JP Morgan to assume all of the deposits and substantially all of the assets of First Republic Bank. JP Morgan Chase Bank National Association submitted a bid for all of First Republic's deposits. As part of this transaction, First Republic Bank's 84 offices in 8 states will reopen as branches of JP Morgan today during normal business hours. All depositors of First Republic Bank will become depositors of JP Morgan and will have access to all of their deposits. Deposits will continue to be insured by the FDIC, and customers do not need to change their banking relationship in order to retain their deposit insurance coverage up to applicable limits. Customers of First Republic Bank should continue to use their existing branch until they receive notice from JP Morgan that it has completed systems changes to allow other JP Chase Bank National Association branches to process their accounts as well. As of April 13, 2023, First Republic Bank had approximately $229 billion in total assets and $104 billion in total deposits. In addition to assuming all of the deposits, JP Morgan Chase Bank National Association agreed to purchase substantially all of First Republic Bank's assets. The FDIC and JP Morgan are also entering into a loss share transaction on single family, residential and commercial loans it purchased from the former First Republic Bank. The FDIC as receiver and JP Morgan Chase Bank National Association will share in the losses and potential recoveries on the loans covered by the loss share agreement. The loss share transaction is projected to maximise recoveries on the assets by keeping them in the private sector. The transaction is also expected to minimise disruptions for loan customers. In addition, JP Morgan Chase Bank National Association will assume all qualified financial contracts. The resolution of First Republic Bank involved a highly competitive bidding process and resulted in a transaction consistent with the least cost requirements of the Federal Deposit Insurance Act. The FDIC estimates that the cost of the Deposit Insurance Fund will be about $13 billion. This is an estimate, and the final cost will be determined when the FDIC terminates the receivership. This chart provided by the FDIC shows the total number of bank failures and the total assets involved for the period dating back to 2001. And the reason that I wanted to show this was really to investigate the question as to whether or not what's happening right now in the banking sector is just the normal course of events, something that we see every single year and therefore isn't really something to be concerned about, or whether or not it represents something more concerning. And we have two lines plotted on this chart. The red line shows the total number of bank failures and the green line shows the total assets involved. So let's have a look at the number of bank failures first. You can see that between 2001 and 2007, there were a very small number of bank failures. 4 in 2001, 11 in 2002, 3 in 2003, 4 in 2004, 0 in 2005 and 2006, and 3 in 2007. If we then look at what happened during the global financial crisis and the aftermath, you can see that we had 25 failures in 2008, 140 failures in 2009, a whopping 157 failures in 2010, 92 failures in 2011, 51 in 2012, 24 in 2013, and 18 in 2014. So it wasn't until 2015 that we went back to a normalized level, less than 10 per year. So the impact of the global financial crisis was that we had an abnormal number of failures for 7 years. And if we look at what's been happening over the last few years, you can see that there were zero failures in 2018, four failures in 2019 and 2020, zero in 2021, and zero in 2022. Now, the official recorded number of failures in 2023 is actually two, because at the time that this chart was made, the only official failures were Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Silvergate Bank was not recorded as an official FDIC failure because that is a managed liquidation. The management team of that business are trying to manage it themselves. So far, the FDIC have not had to step in to protect the deposits of all of the customers. They are leaving that to the bank to manage themselves. There is a possibility at some point in the future that that could happen. But officially, at the time that this chart was prepared, there were only two bank failures because this was before the First Republic news came out. So if we look back over the last 22 years, two or three failures would actually be in line with an average year. That wouldn't really be a major concern. But let's have a look at the total assets involved. If you look at the green line, you can see that between 2001 and 2007, it barely registers on the chart. The level of assets involved were minimal, so the banks that were failing were very small. They had a very small number of assets. Now, not surprisingly, in 2008, when we started to see a lot more banks failing, the level of assets increased dramatically, and in that year equated to almost $374 billion. In 2009, the total amount was $171 billion. It was $97 billion in 2010, $36 billion in 2011, and then dropped to $12 billion in 2012. Now, if you look at the situation from 2014 onwards, the total value of assets is very, very small. Again, it barely registers on the chart. But if we look at the situation for 2023, the current position, you can see that there has been another huge spike in the total assets. And officially for Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the two failures recorded on this chart, the total amount of assets was $319 billion. So actually, relatively close to the total amount recorded for 2008. However, if we now add on top the First Republic Bank assets, which were over $200 billion on the 13th of April, that would take the total above $500 billion, which is significantly higher than it was in 2008. So the total number of banks so far that we've seen fail in 2023 is relatively small in terms of number, but the value of those banks, the size of those banks, is really significant and is actually greater than we saw at the height of the global financial crisis. And of course, we're not even halfway through 2023. This is the position at the start of May 23. So if you extrapolate forward and assume that other banks may potentially fail during the course of 2023, the total value of the assets could dwarf what we saw in 2008, which was at the height of the global financial crisis and is seen to be the worst year ever in terms of financial failures. And that, of course, is setting alarm bells ringing. And what you also need to take into account is that this chart only covers what's happening in the USA. We haven't included what's happened to Credit Suisse, which is obviously a huge bank. So if you take that into account, there are definitely warning signs flashing right now that there could be something happening that could be on a par with what happened in 2008. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you the news that First Republic had failed. It's hot off the press. And as we've discussed in this video, this is now the fourth bank that's failed in the USA in the course of the last 8 weeks. Now, as we saw from the chart earlier in the video, it is normal for three or four banks to fail in any one year. But in an 8 week period, that is concerning because these failures don't usually come in clusters. And the reasons behind these failures are also concerning because the fundamental issue that we've seen that's driven the failure of all of these banks and also Credit Suisse over in Europe is that customers are becoming concerned. When news starts to spread that your bank might be in financial difficulty, that causes you to have a think about whether or not you want to leave your money there or if you'd prefer to withdraw it and switch it to another financial institution. And these days, the downside of social media is that news about the financial position of an institution can spread like wildfire. As soon as something is posted onto Twitter, it can spread all around the world really quickly. And a modern day version of a bank run simply involves people logging onto their bank account using their smartphone or PC or laptop and moving all of the money within seconds. And that's exactly what happened to First Republic, Silicon Valley, Signature Bank, and Silvergate Bank, and also Credit Suisse. So the question of whether or not this is the end of the financial crisis, have we drawn a line under it? Is First Republic the last bank that will suffer from this sort of situation? And the answer to that is almost certainly not, because there are a lot of other institutions that are in a similar position. What's been happening to interest rates over the course of the last few years has left a lot of financial institutions vulnerable, because they've been taking money from depositors and they've been having to pay a small amount of interest. But in order to get some returns on that money, a lot of institutions have been investing that capital into the bond markets because the bond markets are a safe haven. You know that if you invest your customer deposits into US federal bonds, that you will get that money back. It is not at risk. But the problem that a lot of these institutions have had is that the yield on those bonds has been very low. At the start of the COVID pandemic, we saw interest rates cut to virtually zero all around the world. And that meant that the yield on any government bonds was also close to zero. But at the time, nobody really cared because that was the market rate and you knew you were going to get your money back. And in order to get the best possible yield, the way to do that was to put your money into longer term assets. So 10 or 15 or 20 or even 30 year bonds, because it was expected that the yield curve would rise towards the end of that period. And so on average, you were getting paid a better yield. But the problem with doing that is that when interest rates rise, those bonds go out of the money because there's an inverse relationship between yield and price in the world of bonds. So over the course of the last 12 months, as interest rates have been rising, what we've seen is long-dated government bonds price falling. And so that meant that all of these assets that financial institutions have put their customer deposits into have fallen in value. Now, that would be absolutely fine if those financial institutions were able to just sit back and wait for 20 or 30 years to get their money back. However, what they found is that customers, for whatever reason, have decided that they wanted to start moving their money away. As the rumors started to spread that Silicon Valley Bank was on the verge of going bankrupt, lots of people moved their money away. That meant that the management team needed to find large amounts of cash. The only way that they could find that cash was by selling the bonds that were out of the money, and that crystallized large losses. And the problem that we've got right now is that there are a lot of financial institutions whose balance sheets look exactly like that. So the downside of what's been happening with interest rates over the last few years is that it's undermined the viability of a lot of financial institutions. So I think if we do see more bank runs, if we see more customers becoming concerned that their institution is at risk of failure, so they want to move their money away, those banks will be forced to cash in their illiquid assets, crystallizing losses. That will cause further concern and further runs, and that's exactly how we get to these bank failures. So the likelihood is that over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, we will see more failures. And the big question is, will it cause another global financial crisis? Well, generally speaking, when we look at global financial crises, it comes from some sort of black swan event, something that we couldn't really expect. So it's hard to be able to predict exactly what's going to trigger it and when it's going to happen. But if we look at what happened in 2008, at the start of the global financial crisis, the first institution that went down was a US bank called Bear Stearns. Now, at the time, most people hadn't heard of Bear Stearns around the world, and it wasn't seen as being a major problem, and the authorities stepped in, and JP Morgan bought the bank in March 2008, and everybody went back to life as normal, crisis averted. However, it wasn't crisis averted. The fundamentals were still in place. The problems were still there. And in September of 2008, another US bank, Lehman Brothers, found itself in a difficult situation. The US authorities decided they weren't going to bail out Lehman Brothers. They were happy to let it fail. And that failure triggered the global financial crisis. We saw major financial institutions all around the world failing and having to be bailed out by the state. Now, if we look at the current situation, what's just happened with First Republic Bank is that it found itself in financial difficulty. The authorities have stepped in and they've done a deal with JP Morgan to bail it out. So it's almost exactly the same deal that was done with Bear Stearns in March 2008. So to answer the question of whether or not we could see another global financial crisis, well, we've got very similar circumstances right now. In fact, we've had multiple bank failures, so it's potentially worse than it was at the start of 2008. So there is a possibility that over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, we could see other financial institutions getting themselves into difficulty. And all we need is one of those to be the black swan event that could trigger another global financial crisis. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. If you have, then please give me a thumbs up. Thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And here's something to put a smile on your face.